I knew our crisis had escalated when I heard Merrill had talked to my dad. It would be only a matter of time until he went to his buddy Warren Jeffs. I would be in even worse trouble once that happened. I began writing a letter to Warren that told my side of the situation. I wanted to be allowed to live in the community, but away from Merrill in a space of my own. I wrote whenever I had a few moments of help with Harrison's care. It took me several weeks, but I finally had a 17-page letter that detailed the awful history of abuse that Merrill had dealt out to his wives and children. I was building my case to explain to Warren why I was unsafe in Merrill's house. Several of my friends and sisters called me to say they'd seen Merrill driving around the community with Warren. I knew things were going to blow. The next Sunday in church, it happened. Warren gave a rip-roaring sermon about fathers who try to interfere in another man's family to protect their daughters. I knew my father faced excommunication from the FLDS if he continued to allow me to stay in his home. My father called Warren as soon as he got back from church. He explained that there was more to the story than he could appreciate. He said I had a letter that explained why I wasn't willing to go back to Merrill. Warren agreed to take the letter and meet with my father and me later that night. We were told to keep the meeting secret and wait until after dark before we drove to Uncle Rulon's house. Then we were to park down the road and knock on the front door at a specific time. We did exactly as we were told. Warren had one of his brothers waiting for us and took us to a room where Warren was waiting. He seemed irritated that he had to deal with this situation and acted as though it was a lot of nonsense. Still wearing his suit from church, he sat in a chair with his hands folded in his lap. My father did the talking. I gave Warren the letter. He said he would read it and discuss it with his father and call me at my father's home the next day. He didn't want Merrill's family to know that he was talking to me. Warren asked me if I wanted a release from my marriage. I told him I did not, because I knew I risked being placed in a worse situation. Warren went silent and cold, but I was not putting myself on his chessboard to be moved around from one marriage to another. My father asked if he could speak with Warren privately. Afterward, he told me that he'd said he knew me well and knew what I was capable of doing. He told him that I had been pushed too hard, and that if Warren didn't pay attention to me, I could cause him a lot of trouble. Warren called me the next day and said he had read the letter. He told me that I had written only about Merrill's sins and confessed to none of my own. Because of this, Warren doubted that I had been truthful. He wanted me to come and meet with him and Merrill. Warren wanted to give my 17-page letter to Merrill. I knew if that happened, he'd pass it around to all his wives and children. I asked Warren to keep the letter to himself. Warren agreed Merrill could read the letter when we met. Merrill met me at noon the next day. Neither one of us spoke in the car. Warren laid down ground rules when we got to his house. He said he would know which one of us was wrong by seeing who lost control. I knew I would have no trouble staying calm, but it would be a huge problem for Merrill. Merrill read the letter and practically stopped breathing. I think this was probably the first time in his entire life that someone had called him on his crap. He took several deep breaths after he read it and then laid the pages on the floor. Warren turned to me and said that I had confessed Merrill's sins, and now it was time for me to confess my own. I wasn't that stupid. I knew anything I confessed to could be held against me. I confessed to a few small crimes. Well, sometimes I walk past something on the floor and don't pick it up. Once I burned some rolls for Sunday dinner. My list went on from one small offense to the other. Warren was getting impatient. I wasn't asking for these kinds of confessions. The elements in this letter scream a case of immorality. Merrill, has your wife been involved with immorality? Merrill shrugged and then looked at me. I looked at both of them as if they were crazy. I had never had sex with anyone other than Merrill. It was not immoral to complain about abuse. It was just the opposite.